Our text for today comes from 2 Chronicles 12, verses 13 through 16, and it can be found on page 397 of the old section section of your pew Bible. While we're looking for that, let me just give you a little background here. At this point in the 900 BCs, after Solomon had reigned, Israel split into two sections. There was a northern section called Israel, and that there was a lower section called Judah. And Solomon's son, Rehoboam, was the king of the southern kingdom. And Jeroboam, one of Solomon's officials and confidants, was the king of the northern kingdom. And so that brings us to our reading for today. Jeroboam had sent an ambush around to come. Reading the wrong section. That wouldn't help. So King Rehoboam established himself in Jerusalem and reigned. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign. He reigned for 17 years in Jerusalem, the city that the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. His mother's name was Naamah, the Ammonite. He did evil, for he did not set his heart to seek the Lord. Now the acts of Rehoboam, from first to last, are they not written in the records of the prophet Shemaiah and of the seer Iddo, recorded in genealogy? There were continual wars between Rehoboam and Jeroboam. Rehoboam slept with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David, and his son Abijah succeeded him. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, brother. All right. Well, good morning, everyone. As always, it is such an honor and privilege to be preaching to you. So let's open in prayer. Good morning, Lord. You're the awesome creator of this beautiful day, the awesome Christ who died for us so we can have eternal life with you in heaven when we put our faith in you, and you're the Holy Spirit who is clearly with us this morning. Please open our minds and hearts to what you have to say through me today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I told you it was a special day already. Didn't plan on that, but I got to sing to him because of Andy's birthday. The other special thing, I'm going to embarrass Andy's girlfriend, Erica, is visiting today. So welcome, Erica. You know, so I was writing my sermon at the airport. I was dictating into my phone. And I don't know, do any family share contacts on your phones? You know, okay, I see a few hands. We share contacts. So when I put Erica's name in my phone, a little heart popped up next to her name. So Andy, that's very cute. So he has been totally embarrassed for life. I will not say another word about Andy or Erica, I promise. So anyway, I'm in the airport, right? And I'm asking Andy and Timmy, my other son, advice for what to talk about today. And, you know, this is important to me because, as we've said and Karen says all the time, the church is, our youth are not just about the future of the church, right? It's about our church today. And as those of you who are Christ followers know, I don't think it's a coincidence that they told me to talk about something that God's been putting in my heart. And it's something Pastor Stephen has been alluding to in numerous sermons. And that's the distraction of those devices, those electronics. And I know what you're thinking. You're saying, Dan, we've heard this 1,000 times. You know, the kids are shuddering right now saying, you know, Mr. Dominic, we've heard this 1,000,000 times. But I don't think you've quite heard it discussed in a way I'd like to talk about it today. And the reason is I think this isn't just the latest distraction the devil is using. This one's different. This one is actually changing the scientific composition of our brains. This is creating less gray matter than we've ever had before. It's changing how we think and behave and focus. And this morning, and this is a scary part for the faint of heart in the room, I want to argue that it could hurt our ability to follow Christ. So before I move on, I want to show you a quick video. Now, I heard that it's playing, but it may not be have sound. So if it doesn't, I'm going to narrate. But please pay attention. It's quick, and you have to do something, okay? You have to participate. Can everyone see?
The monkey business illusion. Count how many times the players wearing white passed the ball. The correct answer is 16 passes. Did you spot the gorilla? For people who haven't seen or heard about a video like this before, about half missed the gorilla. If you knew about the gorilla, you probably saw it. But did you notice the curtain changing color or the player on the black team leaving the game? Let's rewind and watch it again. Here comes the gorilla, and there goes a player, and the curtain is changing from red to gold. When you're looking for a gorilla, you often miss other unexpected events. And that's the monkey business illusion.
So, thank you, Eric. So how'd you do? All right, who got the exact number of passes right? Let me see, 16. You're in church, no lying. Let me see, 16. Look around at who's raised their hands, just quickly notice. All right, and who saw the monkey? Okay. Who saw the curtain changing? Holy smokes, okay. So if you're like me, you did get the exact number of passes right. Why is that? You had an intense focus, right, on the people passing the ball, and you let nothing distract you, even a gorilla, right? Now, for those of you who saw the gorilla, before you pat yourselves on the back too much, you need to realize why you saw the gorilla and the change in the background. You see, you allowed yourself to be distracted, right? The task at hand was counting the passes, not watching the gorilla. And consider this example in every facet of your life, okay? Doing your homework. Someone just said, right, they're distracted doing their homework. Remembering your assignments. Paying attention. Listening to other people. Being empathetic to other people. Focusing on the task at hand, okay? So I've been reading a lot about this stuff. If you haven't seen or gotten these books, I highly recommend for everyone, and not just the teenagers. This is The Teen's Guide to Social Media and Mobile Devices by Jonathan McKee. Jonathan talks about how increased screen time leads to diminished ability to recognize facial expressions, lack of empathy and more self-absorption, and decrease in the number of close friends. Okay, that's what Jonathan talks about. This is a book that, thank you, Ron. Ron gave me this book to give to Karen called Disconnected by Thomas Kersting. So I stole it and read it. Now I'll give it to Karen after today. Listen to some of this scary information. Dr. Thomas has seen more ADD cases in the year 2016 than the 16 previous years of his practice. He talks about a principal who would walk around in the hallways and couldn't believe that no one would say good morning or hello or even look at him. And he was getting kind of offended till he realized kids are just distracted. And this doesn't just apply to kids, but are you posting and texting and listening to music and watching YouTube while doing your homework, right? This affects the front part of our brain responsible for executive functioning in a negative way, okay? There's something that we talk about even in the business world called emotional intelligence, right? Emotional intelligence is the ability to use, understand, and manage emotions in a productive way, healthy way, helps us communicate effectively, empathize, overcome life's challenges. Studies have shown people with high IQs have better mental and physical health, build stronger relationships, and perform better at their jobs. Studies have shown that a high IQ matters twice as much in terms of superior leadership as IQ does. It consists of this self-awareness, right? Knowing your own feelings, self-management, keeping your emotions in check, being motivated, empathetic, as I've mentioned before, supporting the emotions of someone else. And these are all things that who asks us to do? Jesus, right? Jesus asks us to do these things. So the problem is most of our children are growing up without a lot of these skills, and spending hours and hours on social media only hurts you a bit, your ability to have these skills. So what does that have to do with our reading today? Quite simply, what happened to King Rehoboam? He got distracted, right? He got distracted. He did evil because he didn't prepare his heart to seek the Lord. and he had war all his days. But here's the good news, okay? I know this is kind of a depressing topic, but I'm going to switch gears here. I know Mr. Jeff knows the answer to this. Where does the best wine come from? Does it come from the most fertile soils and the most ideal climates? No. It comes from low-yielding vineyards planted in marginal climates on the poorest soils. So Mark Crumpler, a teaching pastor at Grace Church in Bethlehem, states, "You have a chance to grow very rich in your faith through challenges," right? And this is a phenomenon we've been talking about in terms of this distraction challenge. It's hard. Most of us struggle with focus and compromise emotional intelligence and apathy, but it's not a mistake. It's not a punishment. It's not mean. It's simply the tough conditions that can produce great faith, right? God has planted us in a unique vineyard with uniquely stressful challenges because he intends for us to produce a uniquely fine, flavorful faith wine. And he will tend to your every need, but you do have to put your faith in him, right? Jesus has to be your primary focus, the lens through which you see everything, your relationships, your schoolwork, your job, opening a door for a stranger. But you have to find that focus and not be distracted by the gorilla. The gorilla is the evil one, guys. Sometimes we're distracted, but God is always there to forgive us, and he's always there when we're ready to refocus. So another awesome guest here this morning is Brother Don LaCrosse. I'm not sure where Don is. Is Don? There he is. He's at the back. Don is a pastor over at Yardville Presbyterian, and he's preached here many times, and I think you're preaching next week, right, Don? All right. Well, for those of you who might remember, Don was up here not long ago talking about his prison ministry. And in the Bible, Jesus talks in Matthew 25 about when I was in prison, you came to see me. So it's been on my heart to do prison ministry. And as many of you know, I ended up losing my job in February and was given the blessing of doing all kinds of things I never would have had a chance to do. And one of them is being able to get my Department of Corrections badge and visit the prisoners over in Bordentown with Don. And we were there Wednesday. And we were praying and having a Bible study, and so I shared this outline with the prisoners. And first of all, you guys wouldn't believe the incredible faith some of these young men have grown while in prison. And so when I talked to them about this, first of all, they said the topic was spot on, so that was good to hear. But secondly, they actually said jail had been a blessing to them, a blessing, and that they wouldn't change their circumstances if they could, because it allowed them to eliminate all the distractions of the world, reflect, and focus on Christ. And they wanted to make sure I shared that message with all of you today. Imagine that. So I wonder if you guys ever have time to just stop and reflect in our busy world. I think many of you and me, when we have a quiet moment, sometimes we just pop in the headphones, right, and listen to music, right? So please, please stay focused on Christ. And if you've never taken the opportunity not only to focus on Christ, but ask him to be your Savior, as you know, every year, I give you that opportunity. So if everyone just bow your heads and close your eyes, let's reflect on the fact that we're all sinners in need of a Savior. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son so that whoever shall believe in him shall have eternal life. So if you're here today and you've realized you're a sinner who needs a Savior, and you've never asked him to be your Savior, you can decide right now to put your faith in Christ. So right now, with eyes closed and no one looking, if you want to ask Jesus to come into your life and be your Savior, if you want him to wipe away your sins as far as the east is from the west, just raise your hand and ask him to do so. Amen. Amen. If you're tired of putting your faith in the things of this world that can never satisfy and you want the true bread and the true life, raise your hand and commit your life to Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you feel like you've hit rock bottom and there's nowhere else to turn, turn to the Creator, the Christ, the Holy Spirit. He won't disappoint you. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you for this beautiful congregation. Thank you for the opportunity to slow down and gather this Sunday morning and reflect on you. Lord, protect us from the evil one. Protect us from his worldly distractions. Most recently, these phones and games and devices that distract us from loving other people and, most importantly, loving you. And of course, for any new believer in you this morning, anyone who just for the first time committed themselves to you, help them to grow in their faith. Help us to support them. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.